Wait. A Vero Beach man faces a domestic violence charge after authorities said he assaulted his girlfriend with a cheeseburger.
Wait. Double cheeseburger? Bacon? What condiments?
They don't say. They just say he assaulted her with a cheeseburger.
She can has cheeseburger. whether she wants it or not.
Another Thursday, another hour or so spent with PC Gamer and Company. This is episode 158 of our weekly podcast for December 4th, 2008. With our HP and MP still bolstered by last week's luxurious turkeys, we emerge ready to confront the fresh news bits and the leftover ones still Tupperware in our fridge. New releases, a study that says close combat is the key to a successful shooter, retail sales figures for Valve games, and reader questions, and more following this Jamaican interlude. I'm your podcast host, Evan Lottie, and I'm joined by reviews editor Dan Stapleton.
Hi, everybody.
By executive editor Logan Decker.
Hello.
By podcast producer Andy Bauman.
What's up?
By Andy Salisbury.
Hello, hello.
And by Josh Augustine, internus maximus.
Ahoy.
How are you guys doing today?
I've been doing wonderful. His parents over Thanksgiving holiday.
Everybody, dessert once.
Or did you say you didn't do that?
Just because I said my Thanksgiving was chill, you interpreted it as I mass murdered my whole family.
Oh, okay, so you didn't. So, sorry, my bad.
I don't
Logan's
know what...
Logan's not up on the street bingo.
Yes, Andy is grateful for bladed weapons this holiday.
I clearly did not have melee weapons as a tag skill.
He carved the turkey.
I would have used small guns. Let's be realistic.
Did you put all your points into small gun skills?
Yeah, and energy weapons, so...
Oh, of course.
I would have laser carved the turkey.
I hope so. Let me know if you stumble upon that. All right. Let's attack this the news we've missed in the past week head on. Grand Theft Auto released last Tuesday on the 2nd. Available on Steam. It's already actually overtaken Left 4 Dead on Steam sales charts. But there has been a bit of backlash already regarding mixed performance experiences by people. It's not exactly clear what's causing it, but basically people that run the game, even with really nice systems, you know, quad cores, dual cores, 8800s or so, have been getting some mixed performance with the game. What's your experience been so far with it, Dan?
Well, I think it's got to be driver related somehow, just because it runs better on the 9800 GTX I've got at work than it does on the GTX 280 I've got at home. Mm-hmm. So that's just bizarre. Obviously, the GTX 280 is a significantly more powerful card with more video RAM on it, and it's still, you know, chugging along. Like I was having a dip below 20 frames per second per second on medium quality settings. So that ain't right. And there's a lot of backlash, you know, crisis style backlash against them having these, you know, higher and highest settings. In quality for future proofing, you know, they say it's, you know, as PCs get more powerful, you should be able to jack it up and it'll look better for longer. But people really don't respond very well to that, do they?
Apparently not.
But they want the instant gratification of being able to max it out right now on their high end PC, even though but I mean, to be fair, it does not perform as well as, I mean, even on the 9800, doesn't it perform as well as you would expect it to, like for an Xbox game, you know, a game built for a 3-year-old Xbox 360 should run pretty well on a PC.
To be fair, it didn't run as well as I expected it to on PlayStation 3 either.
It ran just fine. Xbox. I played it through on Xbox, and I really didn't have any issues, even when, you know, trying to chain explode 10 cars and stuff like that.
Is there a little marker on the sliders that say, like, this is what it's at for the consoles? You know what I mean? Like, the distance slider or, like, anything?
No, there isn't.
Oh, man. I'd just be curious to know, when you're trying to tweak everything, what the comparable rate is, you know?
Yeah. But I guess the other thing that's annoying people, and I think probably rightfully so, is they have the medium texture setting And anything above medium requires a gigabyte of video RAM on your graphics card.
What?
So whoa. So yeah. So if you don't have have a graphics card with a gigabyte of video RAM, then you can't run high texture quality.
It wouldn't even let me change my video quality. I had everything on medium when I finally got the game to run. For whatever reasons, games with Windows enable, game for Windows Live's games just crashed my computer. But when I was able to finally get into it and it was chugging along, whenever I tried to change the video settings at all, it always just revert to medium.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what graphics card do you have?
8800 GTS. Thank you, Logan.
Yeah, that's I think that's a 512 card or maybe 768 for the high end one.
Yeah, I just thought it was weird that it wouldn't even let me change it, you know?
Right. Well, it auto detects what you got.
Yeah, that's true.
And, yeah, limit you. But yeah, I think they failed to learn from Crysis's experience of you know, just labeling these things at what people are used to being able to upgrade to, or to be able to you know, to pump the slider up for. And you know, there are a lot of complaints we've been seeing on forums of people having, you know, difficulties like Andy's where they have difficulty getting it to run at all. I'm not sure how many people that is. It's always really hard to tell because anytime any game ever launches, there are people on the forums, you know, screaming bloody murder about how it, you know, just won't run. Because you know, that's just kind of the nature of the PC beast. Everything's different. Everybody's system is different, so some people are going to have problems running any game. There are people on the forum. Like, have you noticed? Every time you go onto a game forum, there's somebody on there saying, you know, this game doesn't run on 95% of systems out there. You know, this developer should be ashamed. Blah blah blah. which clearly isn't true. It does run on probably most systems, but. You know, there's one guy on there who sees like 10 other people saying, "Oh, it's not running for me," and he assumes it doesn't run on anybody's system.
Yeah, I just think for me, it's games for Windows Live because I have the same issue with Fallout 3. So
you should uninstall and reinstall the games for Windows Live stuff.
Where I thought that was all kind of just built into the game. Is there actually
no,
something
not,
like
not really? It's a separate component. If you go into add and remove programs or you know programs and features, if you're on Vista, you can uninstall it and then just download and reinstall the most recent version.
I feel dumb.
Well, it may or may not help, but give it a try.
Yeah, it's worth it. And give it a whirl.
Yeah, and lest anybody think I'm defending Rockstar here, I think they did do maybe a bit of a sloppy job on this in terms of optimization for PCs. So
that's just the problem with PC ports, though. Traditionally, I think like I'm trying to think of a good PC port, and the old Grand Theft Autos were good, but they really weren't that graphic intensive. This one, where it's finally everything is beautifully detailed and stuff, it seems like there was you know when they don't have just a uniform platform to work everything on.
Right.
Seems like there's a little bit of issue.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's sad, though, because I think it's a really good game, and it'd be even better on PC. So.
Yeah, I love it on Xbox 360. I played through it, and I still play it a lot today. In fact, it was the first game I installed with the NXE, but I don't know. I really just wanted to try it on PC.
I personally waited. I just stayed away from the console version so that I could experience it on the PC. Yeah. So it's a bit of a downer that it has problems like this. Rockstar has, you know, responded to a bunch of the criticism saying that they're working on solutions. But you know, who knows how long or you know what they'll come up with. The other thing that's driving people nuts about it though is having to log into three separate services if you got it from Steam. If you just got the retail, then it's just two separate services. You have to log into Games for Windows Live and Rockstar's social club thing to play online, which is kind of obnoxious. You know, it would be nice if they didn't make you log into quite. So just make it optional. You know, just let me just play. I don't want to have to log into seven different services.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of silly that you couldn't even like do your saved games unless you were logged into Windows Live.
Oh, that's what Gears of War did, and one of my saves somehow disappeared.
Well, that's kind of easily solved because they just do that to like in case there are multiple people playing on the same system, they want to have their saves in their own profile. So if you want to move games from you know like in Fallout, I had that situation. But I went into the save games folder, and there's a there's just the save games folder, and then there's a profile folder. So you can move games between them back and forth.
That scares me, though, just because of the thing I ran into with Gears of War, where all of a sudden, like, I didn't do anything, I didn't reinstall anything, and all of a sudden my save game was gone. So who knows? I did blame it on Games for Windows Live. So.
Well, it was its fault, but it's not deleted.
All right. Well, we will continue to investigate what these issues are, and encourage you guys to post in your comments thread what your experiences are with the game if you're playing it. Otherwise, we got some really pretty cool statistics from Valve this week. For a company that really values metrics in their game and measuring things like heat maps and player accuracy and weapons and all that in their shooters, it's pretty rare for them to actually release sales figures. So it was fortunate that for them to release these specific numbers on the Half-Life series, Counter-Strike, Half-Life 2, Orange Box last week. I'll just read them off real quick. For Half-Life's original Half-Life sold 9.3 million, Counter-Strike 4.3 million, Counter-Strike Source 2.1, Half-Life 2 6.5, Half-Life 2 Episode 1 1.4, and Orange Box 3 million. And before you say anything, keep this in mind. These are only retail figures, and they do not include any sales via Steam. And
which has got to be a huge number.
Yeah. So those numbers combined, along with, you know, their associated expansions, that's 32.8 million retail, only retail copies sold since 1998.
Right. So that's you know, averaging, you know, 3 point whatever million per year, which is a pretty healthy number for any single game company. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's just a good number for 10 game companies combined.
Especially on PC. Does it say on there if it's talking about if that includes console sales?
It does.
Okay. So that probably influences a little bit, right? At least with Half-Life 2 and Orange Box. But and I guess Half-Life 1 did go on Xbox at one point, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that impacts it a bit. But they must have sold millions more on Steam.
It's cheaper on Steam. I can't imagine why tons of people wouldn't. You know, with Half-Life at, what was it, 98 cents a little while ago?
Right.
Yep.
I doubt more than, you know, a few thousand or 100,000 maybe bought that. But and even if it did, like, you know, that might inflate their sales figures, but it doesn't really increase their profits because it's a dollar. So, the things like Counter-Strike, like the sales for that must have been overwhelmingly on Steam.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, there've been so many iterations of Counter-Strike that, yeah, I would think so too. Cool. And while we're actually considering the Valve success, there's a recent statement by Gabe about DRM that reveals
Gabe Newell, who's the CEO and founder of Valve.
Yes, thank you. That reveals some of their sort of approach to doing business and their philosophy, I guess. Being, quote, "As far as DRM goes, most DRM strategies are just dumb. The goal should be to create greater value for customers through service value, make it easy for me to play my games whenever and wherever I want to, not by decreasing the value of a product. Maybe I'll be able to play my game, and maybe I won't. We really, really discourage other developers and publishers from using the broken DRM offerings, and in general, there is a groundswell to abandon these approaches." So it's really the last part of that that's kind of the most interesting to me. You know, as someone that probably has a better pulse on the industry as anyone, is saying that there's a groundswell among publishers to abandon DRM and look for new opportunities, and that's an encouraging thing to hear.
No, I'm sure some people out there are calling him a hypocrite right now because... with Steam, like if I'm not on if I don't have an internet connection, it's more difficult to play the games. If I haven't in advance set it to you know, offline mode, then I can't play my Steam games. So, you know, and Steam is, you know, obviously a form of DRM in that it links things to your account. And
but he did say that, you know, that. You know, part of that solution is offering more value, right? You know,
right,
so like
right.
Being
Steam.
So that's their trade-off, which is, he's absolutely right. I'm totally willing to accept that trade-off. I love it.
Right, and Steam gives you the ability to download your game from everywhere, to not have to keep track of your discs.
Sorry, that freaks out me.
It gives you the social aspects of the Steam service. It gives you Steam Cloud. It gives you a bunch of stuff that you know, in exchange for having to deal with having to log in. It gives you some value.
Yes, and it works, and it doesn't tell me, oh, you can't have that CD mastering suite on your hard drive.
Right. Whereas things like Secure ROM do very little to make up for any inconvenience it might cause you.
Secure ROM just needs a spoonful of sugar to make the medicine go down, right?
Well, like a huge stack of cash.
Yeah. And it does. Secure ROM does, at least with the EA implementation of it, it does make it so you don't have to keep the disk in the drive. But the restrictions it imposes on you make that seem less attractive.
Indeed.
It should come with a coupon for Mr. Pibb.
Oh, Mr. Pibb. Do they sell that in California?
That is delicious. Yeah,
they like it.
Really? Whenever they're like, whenever I order a DP and they're like, no, we have Mr. Pibb, I'm like, no, I don't want it.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. I never got to give it a shot.
Are you prejudiced
against... Don't
knock
until you've tried it.
He's an elitist. He's an elitist.
You're talking about somebody who killed his parents.
Allegedly.
What do you expect?
Allegedly.
Andy will only drink beverages that have a graduate degree. That's what we've learned.
All right. And that includes Dr. Bold, Albertson's brand.
Dr. Bold. Because
I will drink that.
If Pepsi had a PhD, would you?
I'd give it a shot.
Okay.
It's a tough time in the economy. We need educated people.
Beverages.
/ beverages.
All right.
Moving on.
On the topic of academic things, there's a really interesting study on Gama Sutra. One site I really enjoy reading. They basically sponsored a study by a tech company based here in San Francisco called MSense. Basically, put a bunch of game players into a room, and they gathered biometric data from these players for over more than 300 hours. All they played games like Fear and Halo 2, Battlefield 1942, Half-Life 2, Gears of War, Call of Duty 3. So they gathered data including brain waves, heart activity, breathing, blinking, temperature, motion, and adrenaline. And they summed this into something they called player engagement. And they measured this while paying attention to the context of the player's actions within these shooters. And it's a 5-page story. There's a lot of graphs and statistics, but they came away with some pretty interesting assertions, not necessarily conclusions, because it's all kind of, correlational data, not, you know, causational per se, and impressions about how players respond to different, very specific stimuli. And a lot of it is sort of inform people that are making games, you know, what's effective, what's not. So it's sort of in that marketing context. But one big one they came away with was overwhelmingly that close combat is the most reliable way of creating engagement. In other words, like getting responses in breathing and temperature and heart activity, etc. And they basically came to this conclusion by observing that giving players opportunities that are like sort of risky opportunities with a potential for high reward, like where they feel in danger, but the reward with like an automatic kill with, you know, with the chainsaw bayonet, for example, players respond really well to that, apparently. Another conclusion they made was that players can only handle so much intensity, and that lulls in the action can actually be productive for action down the road, like the puzzle sections in Half-Life 2, cutscenes. It sort of creates like a calm before the storm that stimulates more engagement. Also, that little things make a big difference. You don't need big scripted events to stimulate engagement. It can be as simple as, you know, the particle effect of a grenade or the decal your weapon makes when it shoots a wall. And also, when operating turrets or vehicles, this is really only engaging, apparently, when players don't feel fully protected by them. It's really important that a player feels threatened by something to stimulate that sense of engagement. So there's a lot of different ways we can respond to this, but I sort of wanted to get some thoughts from you guys anecdotally about, first of all, these sort of conclusions, but what sort of gameplay actions and shooters would you say engage you most? What stimulates you when you're playing?
It sounds like they're saying sniping is boring.
Never.
I think they're right that you know, being up close and personal with an enemy is more you know, it gets the adrenaline going more than you know, just picking people off from afar where you don't even necessarily see the guy that shoots you or anything like that. I think that you know, being in close with shooting people with guns is probably more fun than any kind of melee combat they've had so far, except for maybe the bayonet in Gears of War, which I don't know, I didn't dig it that much, but I guess it is kind of cool to run up and you know see the animation.
Definitely, and they called out the energy sword in Halo 2 as something that's very specifically got a high response consistently. That sort of like lunge action, I guess, was, I don't know, significant somehow. For me, I think it comes down to, in a shooter, you have to make the player feel important, and that's what gets me invested and makes me feel engaged in the experience. And it's not necessarily in the way of making them feel like a hero or making them feel powerful. It's like making the game, you know, like in as many circumstances as possible, making them notice their input in a way that outputs that. It's more fun to shoot a wall and see, you know,
something happen.
Yeah, bullet holes and particle effects and dust, than see nothing. Like, you feel like you are being listened to, you're being watched by the game, and you're the focus of that action. I think that's really integral to making an engaging experience.
Mm.
Yeah, and I don't think, not to go off on too much of a tangent here, but this doesn't only apply to shooters. I mean, in any RPG, I always play, you know, the melee class. I can't handle just standing back and casting, you know, little ice blocks at somebody. Like, I have to be in there, in the action, doing stuff, or else I just get bored.
Fair enough.
I thought one of the most interesting parts that you were talking about in the article, where people really pay attention or really get excited about the way the gun work, like the bullet holes, the way that they make their like particle effects and the grenade effects and stuff, because that's something that I really, really respond to, and that's why a game like Crysis pushed so many good buttons in my head, because I love the way the guns felt and the explosions like worked, and all the bullets and how the tracers flew by and had like such a weight to them, and I haven't really had that experience in a game since, and that's part of the reason why I think it's such a great game.
I think deformable terrain makes all the difference for me. I more than just decals on the wall. I want to be able to, you know, see a wall crumble when I shoot it with a rocket launcher, which is one of the reasons I enjoyed Mercenaries 2, even despite all the bugs, and even going all the way back to XCOM. There was you could fire a rocket at a building and it would, you know, knock out a whole wall, and you know, the ability to have that much of an effect on the game world, I think, is very engaging.
Absolutely. I mean, static environments are something I usually prioritize, that I pay attention to when I'm reviewing something. Definitely. Cool. All right. There were a few extra additional news notes we wanted to mention. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Dan. Command Conquer Red Alert 3 is releasing a DRM deauthorization tool. Is it next week? Or is the date
it's
uncertain?
Available. It's available now, actually. We just got a press release.
Awesome.
They put out patch 1.05, which includes a deauthorization tool, which says, this easy-to-use tool allows gamers to deauthorize previously authenticated machines so that they ultimately have the freedom to play Red Alert 3 on an unlimited number of PCs. So you just run this on, when you've uninstalled Red Alert 3, you run this, it contacts their authentication server, and then, you know, how you only had 5 install tokens, so you could install it on 5 PCs. Well, this would give you one of those back. So hopefully this will, you know, smooth over some of the concerns that I won't be able to play my game in a year because I reformat often. And you know, it should make that a little easier. I mean, you do have to remember to do it before you reformat, otherwise I think that install token is probably gone.
Yeah, it's basically the executable equivalent of when you're in Chuck E. Cheese and you put a token in the machine and it doesn't do anything, and then you call one of the assistants over to get it back for you.
Sort of. Yeah, I guess that's
It's my accurate analogy. Great.
although in this case, the token did do something, but you want to take that token and use it somewhere else, but they let you do that for some reason. So, yeah, not the best analogy, but... Yeah.
I just really like Chuck E. Cheese.
Analogy fail.
Plus, there's giant armored bears instead of giant mice.
Right.
Oh, man. All right. Also, finally got a clear idea of when Ghostbusters is releasing, according to Atari, June 2009. So that's good news.
Yeah, it's nice that it's coming out at all. I mean, initially it was supposed to come out by the end of the year, and I guess they pushed it back a little ways, maybe putting a little bit of extra sauce on it.
Yeah, there's a trailer. I think it was a gameplay trailer. I can't quite remember. But mostly I was paying attention to the really nice facial modeling and animation. Gelled really well with the voiceovers that they showed, and it was cool. Also, there's a patch en route to Far Cry 2 next week. Not sure exactly what it'll include, but more than likely it'll fix the field of view issues that some people are experiencing on widescreen displays.
It's a nightmare of crashing for me.
Discouraging.
Yeah, but, you know, hopefully that'll fix it.
Yeah, I haven't had any problems with that at all.
Also, Activision confirmed some upcoming games for next year that we'll see, surprise, surprise, another Guitar Hero.
All these games are okay.
Along with a racing-focused Bond game developed by Bizarre Creations. And in an effort to make future games in this series sound as much like a hockey score as possible, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare 2.
Wait, Call of Duty 4 2?
Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare 2. So it's like Call of Duty 4 scored 4 points.
Right. I got that. Okay. That doesn't make any sense why they would do that. I mean, why not just like Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2?
Yeah, because I guess they want to make sure that they're like marking their territory with it having been Call of Duty 4 and I guess like Rainbow Six Vegas.
Yeah, I guess the implication there is they're not making a major revision to the engine. This is just going to be another campaign on the same engine.
I hate to stray from the idea of this, but I've just always wondered, like, what if they make a sequel to Army of Two?
Army of Two?
I don't know. Just one of those weird little thoughts that always manages to linger around.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They are making a movie of that game, actually.
Really?
Yeah, let's go see it.
I'd definitely get a pretend to be Rios.
There are 80, yeah. There are 85 instances of the word bro in the script. All right. We also want to let you guys know, on behalf of our friend Jeremy Williams, who's also the former podcast producer for PC Gamer. He works over at Core in the same building as us, actually. And the newest episode of Core, if you have a PlayStation 3 or actually a Blu-ray that happens to play a few games, is available for free on the PlayStation Network today, and we'd encourage you to go check it out. There's actually a free game in there that Jeremy designed himself called Blast Core. It's really funny. He just showed it to me earlier today.
Has anyone ever mashed a banana in the middle of a muffin?
No.
That is delicious. It is excellent. And then you put it under the broiler for like 30 seconds. Not 30 seconds, like 15.
What kind of muffin?
Wait, Logan, the implication here is that you actually ate a muffin?
That was like years ago.
Yeah, I have boxes.
Do we have any, okay. Do we have any non-muffin-related questions?
I think this might be one, but not a guarantee.
Hello, this is Nicholas from Tampa, Florida. Also known as Wildcat on the forums. Hey, I was wondering, when I was looking at Best Buy, like on the PC, when I went to go pre-order, it said that StarCraft had a release date for 2/28/09, but there's no official release date yet during the beginning of the year, so I was kind of wondering, it's kind of weird that they already have that posted. And I'm also wondering, what is your favorite 10 top games of all time for each of you? Okay, well, thanks. Podcast.
Don't That's trust great. Them.
Can
they
we
lie.
Fax you?
That's great. I'm going to ask you a simple question, then I'm going to ask you a question that takes half an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to skip that for now. But the rule is never ever trust release dates from EB or anybody like, or even Amazon or anybody like that. Yeah, I mean, they make them up because
liars.
They want to pre-sell it and they don't have the official date, so they just make something up so that they can put it up there for pre-order.
They actually have a giant wheel and they spin it, and then it gives them a date.
Yeah, right. I always love it when I see on sites like I won't mention which ones, on blogs that call out like, oh, somebody, a Blockbuster employee or an EB Games employee saw this release date posted on their internal intranet page, and it must be true. So here you go.
Yeah, not too much.
It's extremely unreliable.
Especially with somebody like Blizzard. I mean, they aren't going to let that stuff get out early.
They don't even know when it's releasing.
Yeah, I sincerely doubt anybody at Blizzard has a firm date when it's coming out.
It's very much, it's done when it's done.
Right.
Yeah. At the same time, we can say from experience, like what we played, it's very polished. It's probably coming down to balancing and adding a few bits of content, but we can't say specifically. We expect it in 2009, I guess.
I wonder if you click on StarCraft II and at Amazon with that release date, if it takes you to a Rick Astley video. They're like, psych.
They're going to Macy's Day parade you.
That was amazing.
Thanksgiving Day parade. Oh, man. I was like, it was one of those no moments.
Yeah, like, I can't believe this is happening.
I don't know. What are you talking about?
The entire nation was Rickrolled.
No!
They brought out Rick Astley to...
Oh, he, like, came out of a float.
Oh, where was I? Oh, that's right. I was in the middle of nowhere.
I love that he's wearing a similar-looking coat, too.
Probably the same one.
Still looks the same. Nothing weird, but... Dude's aged well.
Next non-Rick Astley related question.
Maybe I got a bromance with Rick Astley. Is there anything wrong with that?
That's hot.
The word bromance.
Any more?
Hey, PC Gamer, it's Will from Canada. Look, I recently purchased The Witcher Enhanced Edition off Steam. Unfortunately, when I loaded it up, played after a cutscene or talking, the screen appeared blurry, almost like you were wearing glasses that you didn't need. After about a half an hour, this gave me a headache. Do you know a fix for this? If not, what do you think about them releasing a extended or enhanced edition with a major bug like this? I did what Logan did in his case and took a look online for fixes, but I saw a bunch of people who even didn't have this on Steam had the same problem, and CD Projekt is refusing to put on a patch. Wondering what you thought? Thanks. Love the podcast. Bye.
We refuse you a patch.
Yeah, I'm afraid you've attempted to reach tech support, and they're not available right now. but... Yeah, we're sorry to hear you're having a bug there. We don't have any fixes, unfortunately.
And it's hard to diagnose it without knowing, exactly what the parameters are. Like, the blurriness happens after the cutscene? Is the cutscene? Yeah, I'm not.
We have no idea. Even if we knew, we're not.
It wouldn't tell you.
We're not programmers, so it's hard for us to. I mean, we're in the same boat as you guys. We have to go to developers and ask, hey, what's going on here? Why is this?
Look, you're not a programmer, but I did used to enter basic games in our Apple II when I was a kid from magazines, instruction by instruction.
I was computer science for one quarter.
Dude,
that must have been very thrilling for you, Logan. Anyway,
it was.
But there are. We just think it's great that CD Projekt put out an enhanced edition at all. I'm considering it was for free for anybody who had the original Witcher. It's unfortunate that, it probably has some bugs in there. The original probably still has some bugs. Everything has bugs. We're just glad they did it. And we hope they do patch it or somebody finds a fix.
Yeah, just a few suggestions, actually. I just did a quick search. Try forcing the anisotropic filtering.
Anisotropic?
Anisotropic, thanks. And lowering the lighting quality or changing your resolution.
Yeah.
But
update your video drivers. I don't know.
Godspeed to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Also, I wanted to bring up that they were maybe announcing that Witcher would come out on the consoles. What do you guys?
There's a version of it that they're going to put out. Can't blame them. I mean, it sold well on PC. May as well try and cash in on the consoles.
Yep.
But it's our game. Our game.
At least they're getting the port this time and not the other way around.
All right. Oops. Good way to look at it.
All right. Should we do one more?
Sure. Maybe?
Okay. Cool.
Hey, guys. I was wondering if you've heard anything recently about Burnout Paradise coming to the PC. EA announced something, or maybe it was Criterion who announced something about that way back in, like, May or June, the beginning of summer this year, and we haven't heard anything else since. With all the expansion they're doing on the console version with the new areas and new vehicles and the motorcycles and soon to be the other, flying cars and all this other crap, it seems like it would be the perfect game to bring to PC where they can bring all that stuff out in addition to user-created content, so... If you've heard anything else, I'd love to hear it. Thanks. Bye.
I'd certainly like to see it on PC. I played it. I reviewed it way back when it was on console. Really enjoyed it. I mean, Criterion's an excellent developer. With how they're supporting this game is ridiculous. They're putting out like three separate free editions of the game. They're adding like planes to a racing game. They're adding bikes and all this other extra content. They don't have any hard news. And there was a report last May that it was coming to PC, and I think the last game they did was Black, that shooter from it was like in 2006, I think. Did that come to PC?
No,
I don't think it did. So they don't really have experience porting things themselves. It'd probably be to an external company. So we're not sure.
Basically, we don't have any new information on that. I mean, we heard the same thing you did, that it's probably coming. And in fact, I'm pretty sure it is coming. There just isn't a solid release date yet.
Yeah, actually, there's one website that has it listed for February 3rd, 2009 for some reason on PC, but that's totally unverified. No, it's not. but that's totally unverified. So we'll keep our eye out. It's really a fun game. I'd like to see it come along.
In the meantime, try mashing a banana in the center of a muffin. And broiling it for 15 seconds.
Provides a similar experience.
And that is not a euphemism, just to make sure we are clear on that.
Oh, jeez.
Guys, all right, we should do our playlists. Dan Stapleton, I need to pronounce your name.
That would be appreciated. Yes.
Other than Grand Theft Auto, you've been playing.
Well, I got about an hour and a half of GTA in last night. Before that, I was been playing a bunch more Left 4 Dead, and I've actually been sucked back into Sins of a Solar Empire lately because they just put out the 1.1 patch, which has rebalanced a bunch of things and refine the interface a little bit. So I played, I think one of my games that lasted about 6 hours. I didn't sit through the entire. It was in two sittings, I think.
Oh, okay.
I played through that. And then,
ow. Well,
what did you do, Logan?
I'm fine.
Someone shot himself with a Nerf gun again.
Yeah. it was in the waistband of his sweatpants in the nightclub.
I totally set you up for that. That was an alley-oop.
That was not you. I think the real crime is wearing a sweatpants to a nightclub.
Yes. Anyway. That's pretty much been the extent of my gaming this past week or two.
Cool. Logan, you've been digging into Tomb Raider some more, I think.
Well, and it's been a gaming week of horror. First there was Prince of Persia. No.
Oh, what? Even on PC?
No. And wrong way to do it. That was not a game. It was a labor camp. and now Far Cry, I can't get more than a few minutes before it crashes. And I've updated drivers. I've tried this. I've tried that.
Have you tried the other thing?
Yes, I did. I tried that last night. And that didn't work. So
you've officially tried this, that, and the other thing.
Yes, and the other thing. I just did the other thing. But maybe I'll try it again tonight. I think, you know, it's just one of those things. Sometimes just it just happens like that, and you just have to write it out. It's definitely better with after I updated my drivers. I got a little further, but it still crashed on me. So, but I'm keeping going for it because I cannot wait to play that game. And I'm just glad I don't have to do Prince of Persia anymore.
Wow, that's disheartening.
Let me tell you, they have all the makings for a great new series. Everything, there's so much great stuff about that game. The play mechanics, the new characters, the look, which I hated initially, I love now. There's so much right stuff about that game. They just need a game and a story now. Because the way everything works is fantastic. It just, the game and the story is just, no.
That's yeah. I welcome any Prince of Persia that doesn't have like an edgy kind of character model.
Oh yeah, the new one's just really, it's fun. The acting is great.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's lots of good stuff about it. They just kind of draped it over this sort of non-game that just has you running around collecting hundreds of bits of junk. Very sad.
Yikes.
But you can mash a banana right into the center of a muffin, and grill it for 15 seconds, and I swear it is delicious.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Andy Bauman, how about yourself?
I finally finished Fallout 3 triumphantly. Nice. It was actually like one of the most sad experiences, just because I didn't want to finish it, and I love that game.
Oh, I hate that feeling.
I was in love with that game. Like,
you're supposed to play it more than one time.
I know, but I'm going to, I think.
Good.
And then I playing Left 4 Dead, and last night we could not, for the life of us, beat the rescue on Mercy Hospital.
On what level?
Advanced. We weren't even on expert. Are we just like too nub or what? Like,
what went wrong?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, we spent hours, and every time there would be like tank, smoker. And, like, once that happens, everybody just gets, like, thrown off the roof trying to rescue the guy who's on the smoker, and the tank just hits you and you fly off the roof. That's so unfair.
When the tank comes, you've got to get
out. You've got to go inside.
No. Do not go inside. Get out in the open.
Not on the roof of the hospital, because he'll just knock you off.
Oh, just don't stand near the edge. I was thinking of the Death Toll finale.
Yeah.
In that one, I guess you've just kind of got to try and lead him around. Have one guy lead him around as much as possible.
Yeah.
And set him on fire, of course. You are setting the tank on fire, right?
Yeah, we're doing our best. Is that the secret damage?
Because that way you can just run. You can just run, and he takes damage.
Yeah, fire is actually really, really good in that game, and I didn't really realize it at first.
Although on expert, the tank will run you down. He's faster.
Oh, what?
Yeah. He's a tough dude.
Damn.
So that's really vicious.
You can also
put on a nurse's outfit and ask him for his copay and see if that stalls him for a little while.
You can also, if he throws concrete blocks at you, you can actually shoot those out of midair and disintegrate them if you do it right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys are like experts.
Yeah. Pros. I don't like to brag, but me and Evan.
You guys are kind of entered the pro zone over there, and I'm sort of in like the non-pro zone.
Speaking of tanks, Andy, can you describe what went down last night? That amazing. Okay. I was a tank.
Yeah, you go ahead.
You should do it. How much damage did I do again?
23,000 and then some. There's some change.
Okay.
So in a nutshell, we basically we're infected. We're playing versus against Hojo and I think a few other guys, Delita and whatnot. And so Evan gets the tank. We're at the part of No Mercy where you have to cross that street into the pawn shop that's been turned into a safe house. And what Evan does is he just kind of waits outside. We hear him conspiring. He's like, guys, I'm just going to use the cars. And I think to myself, like, you're going to hide behind him? I don't quite gather the whole gist of the situation. And when he gets out, or when they get outside, all of a sudden I just see a car get slung into the alleyway behind the house and crush Bill and Zoe. And they just go down. They just get absolutely squashed. There's nothing they could do. And
were either of you guys playing the other night when I hit three people with one car?
Yes.
Holy crap.
Okay, and immediately before that, I was telling those three people, which included Norman Chan, was, hey guys, get away from the cars. Dan's going to punch them.
Well, it wasn't so much as they were near the cars, because I hit the car that was actually furthest from them, but they were all grouped together. So one car smashed all three of them.
Yeah.
I think that's the cool part. 23,000 damage.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens, but it's a lot. It's a big number.
Astronomical.
But more importantly, any game that allows me to use trash talk lines, like, what did I say? I can't remember. I hope you like sedans, bitch.
Whoa! Not a bitch. It just
goes to the circumstances.
And then poor Lewis, poor Luby just didn't even see it coming. He's still running backwards into you at the time.
Trash talk apparently was so intense that Evan actually blacked out, so he doesn't remember what he said.
I'm pretty vicious with it, I gotta say. I get really excited. Okay. Thanks, Andy. I appreciate that. So yeah, other than basically 25 hours of Left 4 Dead a week or more, I actually started a new campaign on Titan Quest, which I've been really enjoying. It's such an easy experience to pick up and put down at my own pace. I don't feel like I have to put X hours into it or anything, and it's kind of relaxing. Like, just, I don't know, it's kind of unsettlingly relaxing because I'm just kind of cleansing all these species from grease that shouldn't be there, like centaurs and orcs and other things. But it's cool. It's fun.
So you're saying you're engaging in entertainment-based genocide.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm hinting at, but it's surprisingly good.
Genocide for the sake of amusement. So, yeah.
Bingo. And yeah, Josh, how about yourself?
I still have extreme altitis and wrath, so I still don't have an 80. I've been working on 4 different characters on 2 different servers, which is kind of a bummer. But I have been playing a lot of adventure games, which I'm super excited about, because now I have so many games available now that I'm here. Like, I'm trying to get caught up on some of the ones I missed while WoW was eating my life for the past 4 years. So I've been playing Strong Bad, Sam & Max, A Vampire Story, which I'm still trying to get my hands on. I've played the demo twice because I love it so much. And then I'm playing Battleforge for preview, hopefully soon, and a bit of GTA 4, which I've never really played the GTA games before. I really like it.
Stupendous. Andy Salisbury, did we mention what you're playing?
On top of, of course, amazing amounts of Left 4 Dead and still Wrath of the Lich King, my guild and I, as a whole, we've been raiding our butts off, and we've managed to secure all the server firsts. What? So that's kind of cool.
Nice.
That's some fun. That's some good bragging rights, because, last expansion we weren't doing so hot, so we're really proud of ourselves. And I would love to be playing Fallout 3 and Grand Theft Auto 4, but I just can't get them to run for the life of me. Like, I really, really dearly want to. And for sometimes I just kind of start up like, maybe it'll work today. And I don't get any help there. So
Andy, when you're done with the podcast, uninstall and reinstall against your Windows Live.
I tried to find it, but I didn't see anything in there. It's like,
it's there.
Yeah.
You're just blind is the problem.
Mash a banana into a muffin and
broil it. I'm going to do that.
I want to give a quick shout out to my parents, actually, because I spent a week down at Thanksgiving and I played Guitar Hero World Tour with my family, and seeing my dad smash the drums and my mom wail on the guitar was totally awesome.
Nice.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
they've never played video games in their life, so that was really fun.
Oh, that's a very formative experience, I understand.
My parents should hang out. My dad's a Battlefield maniac.
Oh, that's what I hear.
So Josh's parents will be playing the guitar, and Andy's parents will come along and shoot them.
And on that note, all right, that about wraps it up for us this week. But in our 160-hour absence, we'd encourage you guys to submit questions for our upcoming episodes. Drop us an MP3 at pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com, or you can give us a ring at 877-404-1337, extension 724, and record your question there. We'd also invite you to invite us to your mailbox by subscribing to PC Gamer Magazine. Just head on over to gamesradar.com/PC and point your cursor to the left side of the page. With thanks to the PC Gamer Podcast panel, this is Evan Laddie signing off. See you all next week.
actually...
What was that? Was that a cat?
Yeah, it was.
Nice.
There's Thank actually... you. Thank you very much.
Take a little sunshine. Sprinkle it with... Sorry. All right. We'll get back to the real part.
If I can't explain it in terms of gameplay and mechanics, I'm not answering it.
Damn. What about a Chuck E. Cheese analogy?
Oh, shucks. You got me. No, there's actually... There's this hobbyist that takes Chuck E. Cheese, like those animatronic machines, and reprograms them to modern songs so they look
like rap songs.
Totally. Have you seen the Usher one?
I haven't seen the Usher one, but I saw one that was like some really hardcore stuff.
It's amazing.
And that man is a freak.
I'll send it to you guys. It's really exciting. All right.
Yeah, put it in the comments.
That's what he does with them when other people are around. When other people, it's the same with the mannequins. Things get nasty.
They're making a documentary about it too, which is cool. Anyway.
I want a documentary made about me.
What would it be called? What would the subtitle be?
The Story of a Hero.
He
got level 80 in 4 days.
Do we have any questions, Andy?
And Andy, Wi-Fi high five for the I can't.
Ready?
Eyes.
Hold on. Just the.
Yeah. That was extraordinary.
Yeah. I sat there and I thought it, and I was like, oh man, I hope nobody else says it. I want
a moment of exquisite tension.
Like waiting
I was just
to
thinking,
pounce.
I was like, oh, I know it's got to be somewhere in Logan's mind. Come on, Andy.
I didn't even get there. That's unbelievable.